Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 191 on Tuesday, the 10th of July, 2018. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. And this week we'll be praising the return of the Messiah. We'll also be tantalising you hourly as we discuss a spreadsheet and we learn about Bauhaus.
I just want to clear it up for people, though. We're not talking about the Ford Fiesta ST. I know many people are driving that this week. When he says the Messiah, that's not what we're talking
no,
about.
No, I didn't mention sliced bread.
No, oh, that's true.
Anyway, moving swiftly on now. Follow up, please, because we've got a bit. And we start with, you guessed it, Dieselgate. And this is quite a big one, actually. This is quite a big one. Volkswagen were trying to prevent their internal report into Dieselgate where they got Jones Day. If you remember right back at the beginning, they commissioned an internal report that was going to be kept secret and everything like that. And because it was going to be kept in Germany, the American prosecutors couldn't get hold of it. But the German prosecutors said, we'd like to have a look at that, please. And Volkswagen, well, you can't because we've got attorney-client privilege. And then it's gone to the Federal Constitutional Court in Germany, and they've turned around and gone, doesn't apply for internal investigations. Hand over all the info.
Well, the thing is, you say that they didn't show it to the US. They actually did. The summary of the findings, they reported the findings to the US Department of Justice and VW Supervisory Board last year, according to Auto News Europe.
Oh.
It's the very last paragraph.
Well, that'd be why I didn't get to it.
Well, they've got quite a lot of that in this. We've got quite a lot of auto news this week, and there's quite a lot of things in the last paragraph which made me chuckle as I read through them all. So, absolutely right. The rest of what you said was absolutely right, according to this. They do have to show. They do have to show their internal report.
So that's going to be the full thing and all the findings, not just the summary.
It seems to be the full thing because they seized it when they raided Jones Day and they raided Volkswagen and Jones Day tried to say, well, look, you can't possibly do that. That was an illegal raid. And whichever was the appropriate German court at that point.
Constitutional court. It's the same one, though.
Was it the same one?
Yeah, they've both brought...
One was in Munich,
They've both brought separate ones, but they've both been told by the same level of court to sling the hook and hand over all the documentation. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So, anyway, that's your latest Dieselgate.
But that's quite massive.
That should... Chunky.
Well, this will see whether Jones Day gets their full pay because they've done the full and rigorous investigation or not.
That's it. Whether it's pinched from their... Oh, well, pinched. Grabbed from their offices. Surely it doesn't come down to them. But anyway... I'm sure they are lawyers. They will, I'm sure, get their full pay. One way or the other.
Anyway, let us move on to messiahs, maybe complexes, and religions.
He's disguising it incredibly well. So, Anthony Lewandowski. You go, why have they mentioned him before? And, of course, he was the Google... Waymo, even the self-driving car part of Google / Alphabet, engineer who then went to Uber and there was the big trade secret kerfuffle. Well, according to Kirsten Korosek, so you'll recognize her name, of course, because she is one of the presenters of the Autonocast, we talk about quite a lot. Well, she's done some digging because a new company this is investigative reporting and everything. Because a company called Cache.ai, and it's spelled with a K-A-C-H-E, has appeared and been registered about 7 months ago. And it's all very strange because the president is someone called Thomas S. Lee Jr., who's a software developer, is the president, but the date on the incorporation filing lists the address of Lewandowski's father and stepmother, which is weird because his stepmother has been a CEO of another one of his startups as well. They did have a website. The website picture involved a truck and stuff, which is, I don't know if you sort of squint sideways and lean back, but cash in Chinese means truck. So, you know, he's a background of autonomous.
Because Otto was going to be, was the lorry autonomous vehicle that Uber bought very quickly after it started,
mm-hmm.
which is at the center of the whole suspicious activity that has now been settled out of court. And everybody is very happy to move on.
it's all very weird because the way that lawsuit ended between Google and Uber was settled much more quickly than one would have imagined it was going to be. If you looked at
yes, but I think that the new Uber boss is more of the give them what they want and let us move on.
Especially at that time, to be perfect.
Because
honest.
If you remember at the same time that was happening, we had London and look at how far they moved forward and how, I mean, he came over several times to talk to Transport for London to sort that out. So I think there's a change in public attitude, at least. I don't know enough to whether the practices in the business are continuing that impression, but they are giving gives me the feeling that they go, this is a problem, let us throw money at it to make it go away and we can carry on with our aim, which is to be your mobility provider.
Yeah, and they do seem to be doing far more of that. Anyway, Lewandowski, there were rumours that he was up to something. It's thought that this is what he's up to next. But we will have to see. I'm sure that there'll be more follow-up about this at some point in the next few months. Cash.ai, that's the one that we're looking out for next, guys.
Yep. Okay, more follow-up. Talking of Transport for London. Now, Transport for London has put the call out that the congestion charge, which private hire drivers are exempt from, should have that little benefit removed from them. So they should now be asked to pay the congestion charge. Now, I don't know how... Can you explain to me, if you pay the congestion charge once, can you go in and out as many times as you like in a day, or do you have to pay each time you cross?
Yes, per day.
Okay. So that'll be another, whatever it is, $12.50 or whatever it is.
$11.50
a day.
Although if you pre-register your cars, which I imagine they would, I believe it's a little bit cheaper. And you can also buy for big chunks of time, so you don't actually have to pay on a per day basis.
Okay, so
and it's cheaper if you buy in bulk,
right?
You know.
Okay, so this.
In other words, some of the numbers here might actually be on the high side.
Well, there's a few ways to look at this. One of them is, well, of course, private hire cars should be part of the congestion charge because one may argue, if we just talk about the company we were before, Uber, 40,000 is quite a significant jump in congestion. I realise not all 40,000 are on the road at exactly the same time in the same area. However, 40,000 is still 40,000 more than there was before. However, how many of those had cars anyway? So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, wow, that's 40,000, £11.50 is more.
Yeah, but you also have to pay to be registered as a private hire car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the amount is. I should probably have looked it up. But yeah.
So, and that's without you talking about, you know, A to B cabs or whatever they are in smaller dealing in smaller areas as well.
Yeah. The number...
So, you know, this quite a nice boost to the old income. Mm-hmm. If one were thinking that was a motivating factor for Transport for London.
Yeah, it's... I might have been wrong, by the way, about the discounts. I think I'm wrong about discounts. £10.50 if you pay in advance. But there's other exemptions for, yeah, Royal Parks, breakdown organisation stuff. But you do have to pay to get in to the... you do have to pay to be a private hire company. There are also significantly more private hire vehicles now than there were a little while ago, before maybe it was easier to do sort of jobbing private hire via an app type setup. Mm-hmm. So, you know, an Uber or equivalent. And the thing is that if you've paid to be a private hire driver and you've got your license, then you don't, then your vehicle is always allowed to go in and out, even if you're not doing it. And I think it's cheaper to have a private hire vehicle than it is to pay the congestion charge every day. So I have a funny feeling there is a bit of
somebody did broach that argument with me when I scoffed at the money side of things. They said, well, that'll stop people pretending they're a hire thing just to get themselves around it.
I feel is
but
is
I don't
happening.
Know. Yeah, but how big a proportion that is, I'm not so sure. But from a very pragmatic point of view, it makes perfect sense that if more cars are going into a congestion area, they should pay for it, and therefore the people who use that service need to have that cost passed on to them. Because you are in an area that is in that charge, so you need to pay for that or use the black cab, because it will move to the black cabs eventually. They're exempt at the minute, but that
eventually
will...
But they have far stronger it's going to be much harder to impose it on the black cabs, because the cab drivers already have to pay a phenomenal amount of money to be allowed to operate as a black cab, and they I would say that they are more unionized than private hire drivers.
Okay, but if you go with the premise that Transport for London want to control all transport,
well, they already control those guys quite heftily. I don't think that is
okay. I hope you're wrong. I mean, I hope you're right. Even God, dear.
I know it goes against every grain in your body. I believe I'm right. It's going to be a long, long time before people do it. People will talk about it, but to be honest, the thought of the cabs going on strike is enough to stop most people. Mm-hmm. I think that the backlash would be so high from the black cabs, whereas actually they don't care so much about the others, and it's much harder for them to be to gather together and have a what's the word? To be able to argue their case.
A united front,
yes, quite. That's what I think will happen. It's £11.50 a day, £10.50 a day, because of course you'd be sensible and have yourself registered, so you just pay it automatically anytime you go in. If you don't want to use that £11.50, then that £10.50, then you know what? You should be plying your trade in other parts of London.
Or go EV
only.
Something like maybe the new Kona from Hyundai.
Yeah, that would definitely be one. Yeah.
Roughly 200 mile range. You'd stop a couple of times maybe in a day to charge, which you should be doing anyway if you're driving that far.
Yeah, or you can do that, or you could, of course, go for hydrogen, which, of course, means it would refill much more quickly rather than waiting for it to charge. So, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Different ways around it. I actually, you know what? I'm surprised that this wasn't already the case. I'm not that. Yeah, it doesn't really bother me, to be perfectly honest.
No, I'm like you. I'm surprised it wasn't already part of things. Anyway, talking about low emissions.
Yes, the Road to Zero plan has been unveiled. It is quite incredible that... no, I can't go there. Anyway, the government has suggested what it's going to do and what it's going to bring in to move us to a low emission transport future in 30 however many years time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do maths, can I? 22 years time. So yeah, it's planning on, well, it's making suggestions and it's hinting at things and it's trying to work out which are the best routes. So it's looking at new homes and offices to come with electric car charging points, new street lamps to be fitted with charging points where sensible. Lots of stuff about improving the EV car charging infrastructure. What it's not saying is that internal combustion engines, full stop, are going to be banned. There will, you know, there is, it's not a pure EV it's not a purely zero emission vehicle future that it's saying. You know, there is still space for hybrid.
Yeah, because one of the quotes is, all new cars will have significant zero emission capability.
Yeah.
So it can run on electric or hydrogen for a portion of a journey, but as a hybrid does, has the internal combustion engine backup.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to argue over the use of the word capability there, although I could. So there's lots of that kind of thing. They're not banning anything.
I think it's interesting that they're saying new homes and offices should be equipped with electrical car charging points, considering that new homes and offices planning is pushing to have no parking at all for any of them, particularly Mr. Khan, Lord Mayor, London Mayor.
He's London, sorry, but the rest of the country isn't London. I've kind of noticed this because I've got like nice countryside and stuff.
No, it is. London is everything, Alan.
It is
the be-all and end-all. Even if you live in the Highlands, you must adhere to rules that will be not relevant to you in any shape or form ever.
Now you start to sound like a nationalist. but, yeah, you end up with a situation like around here where there's not enough car parking for houses. It seems relatively sensible.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. That stuff about the homes makes perfect sense. And obviously we're talking about vehicles. However, you would hope it would match up into a housing 2040 plan that would say, and there will be solar panels on each roof, and there will be, you know, all this sort of stuff. So it combines, you know, it's what we've said.
You mean so it's an integrated system?
Yes. The holistic interconnectedness of everything.
No, because they'll privatise some of it and that'll completely stuff it, because they'll privatise different bits to different companies, so there'll be absolutely no reward for working together and being coherent in any way, shape or form. I've done government work before, can you tell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've all lived a bit.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything mega contentious. I actually think, considering it's the significant zero emission capability bit, I think 2040 is very is not a stretch of a target at all.
People keep trying to then go, oh, 2030. And you know what? I think 2030 is a squeeze. I think 2040 is reasonable.
I think 2030 is very doable.
Yeah, I think 2040 is better.
Yeah, it's obviously.
I could squeeze back to 2035.
It's obviously better, but I think if people were given no choice, but you know, it depends on the rest of the political and world situation. I think,
yeah,
and how well we fitted in with other maybe plans and ways of doing things. If we're on our own, then 2040 is going to be way too soon.
And between now, which is exactly 9 p.m. on Tuesday evening, and when this goes out, about 7:30 to 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning, everything could have changed.
At least twice.
Who knows? Quite. Anyway, tell me about truck engines.
Oh, back to Dieselgate. Well, defeat
it's not
devices.
Dieselgate at all.
It's defeat.
Is it even a defeat device?
Well, I'm going to quote here from the first paragraph of Automotive News Europe, and it says, Daimler has temporarily halted deliveries of, I'm going to say, HGV engines after finding that in certain driving conditions, its emissions of nitrogen oxides could exceed legal limits, the company has said. And that is because one of the things that was being, there was a report that came out. And in the report, one of the things they said was AdBlue is not added, but Daimler have come back and said, no, that's not true. That's
true.
Well, yes, it is, but it's not for the reasons that were being made out. Oh, look, you're doing it naughty. No, that was because AdBlue is stopped if the engine itself monitors and finds that it is working on
biodiesel.
Sorry, yeah. Thank you. On biodiesel, so therefore it doesn't add it to that. So yes, there are instances when it does do that. So what's happening now is Daimler is, what's the quote here? I don't want to get this wrong. Constructive dialogue with Germany's Federal Motor Transport Authority, the KBA, they're really looking into it and going, oh my God, what's going on?
Okay. The engine was sold in Mercedes-Benz trucks in Europe until 2013. Since then, it has been on sale outside of Europe. By the way, the reason it cuts back the AdBlue if it senses it's running on biodiesel is so that it doesn't release too much ammonia, which is in itself a respiratory irritant.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. There's lots of bits and pieces, and I don't know. The Spidey sense says that this isn't an intentional thing to get around stuff. This is just the way it happened to work, but that maybe wasn't totally.
Yeah, and now they have better ways to monitor this, things that they've sort of gone, oh God.
Yeah, and it's old tech as well. So
yeah. Yes.
Speaking of people not really
internally investigating,
doing stuff, and internally investigating Nissan. Nissan for the Japanese market, as we discussed with Subaru a few weeks ago, then vehicles have to be spot checked and calibrated as they're coming off the production line. People at Subaru didn't really bother and sort of made up some numbers every now and again. Well, it turns out that people at Nissan did the same.
Well, this is on the back of them admitting 20 odd years of doing something similar. Nissan weren't being fully truthful, so that there's a little bit of form. However, this one again this was found from an internal. 20 odd
years of it was being done. Were they not being constructed by Mitsubishi?
No. Mitsubishi had it. That's a separate one. But Nissan has admitted to issues. For a while as well, but this is separate to that.
Yeah, so it's 10 employees, dating back to 2013. It's stuff like using non-calibrated tools and measures for things, for not actually driving within the speeds and durations, and temperatures that the tests were meant to be taken within. All these kind of things. It's people. It's humans doing a very, very dull job and then not really being bothered. Because it's such an incredibly dull job, not really being bothered to do the job properly. That's essentially what it boils down to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's happening. It's not, much like the last one, by the way, it's not Dieselgate.
It's not Dieselgate.
Let's be completely clear.
And this is
not
only Japanese market cars. There's 12 cars, I think, in total. 19 vehicles, sorry. Only in the Japanese market. So,
well, it's not only 19, it's a domestic recall. That was the last one, 1.2 million. Yeah.
But it's 19 anyway. Vehicle models.
Yes.
It's what I should have said initially. Yes.
Yeah. It's just, that people pick us up.
Well, talking of picking us up, we're at that time of the month.
Here we are. Yes. So dig out your MP3s of the Sign of the Swinging Symbol. And let's settle down to some fun SMMT car registration numbers.
Woo!
Thank you. I'm glad you did that. Headline figures for June 2018. There's a percentage drop of 3.5 across the in total numbers. Diesel down 28.2%, petrol down 12.3%, and alternative fuels up 45%.
No, it's not down 12. It's up 12.
Oh, it's up 12. It's up 12. I was so used to the negative numbers there. I'm so sorry. Petrol up 12, alternative fuel up 45%. At the same time, private registrations are down 0.6%, so rounding error. Fleet registrations are down 6.4%, so a bit more than a rounding error. And business registrations are up 11.3%. year on, you know, June on June. Overall, year to date, we're down 6.3%. Diesel is down 30%, and alternative fuels are up 24% to a 5.5% market share. There we go. That's your headlines. Curious sayings this month before we get to the top 10 is that Ford was not the overall bestseller.
No, I was very surprised by this.
Third. So was I. Absolute top was Volkswagen with 23,224 vehicles registered, taking, I've lost it now, 9.88% of the market. Next was BMW, scroll, 22,985 vehicles registered, taking 9.78% of the market. And then Ford was third with 22,334. So not a huge amount in it, 9.5% market.
That must be the new Focus
about to come out. New Focus will be coming on stream, yeah.
Because the Fiesta's been out long enough now, so it's not that.
Yeah, it's not that.
It'll be the winding down of Focus sales and holding off for the new one.
It will be. It'll be exactly that. But also, having said Volkswagen that, fills every single niche that you could possibly want a niche for.
And many you don't.
And lots that you just, who cares really? But never mind.
Okay, BMW's then. We've just mentioned two models. Is she going to go through the top tens?
Yeah, this is the top ten. So, best sellers this month. Number 10, BMW 1 Series.
Ooh, hasn't made an appearance for a while.
No, it's been absent for a bit. No Mercedes. There you go.
That's the first time in a long time.
It is, yeah. BMW 1 Series, 3,383. Volkswagen Tiguan.
Wow.
I know, 3,527. Nissan Qashqai, 3,939. Seventh, BMW 3 Series, 4,002.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth, the Ford Focus, 4,840. Fifth, the Volkswagen Polo. Fourth, the Mini, with 5,839. Well, it just says Mini because
it's not a model for it. It's weird. Yeah, I've wondered about that. I've thought, I'm surprised they don't split that out to the different ones.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a cheat, I'm feeling now. They have.
No. That's not the Countryman. And that's like the Mini hatch.
That's not the brand. It is just the brand. Hatch.
No, that's just the hatch and the final version of the hatch. Yeah, it's just that's why I'm saying it's the Mini as opposed to it. Third, the Vauxhall Corsa at 6,076. Second, the Volkswagen Golf at 6,873, which leaves, of course, at number one, the Ford Fiesta with 8,900 exactly registered. Ford Fiesta this year, 56,415. And remember, it's not been number one every month. We're it was not number one. The next at number two is the Volkswagen Golf with 39,930. So that's what? That's 56,300 and lots. 26,300 and lots.
Mm-hmm.
More.
You said it last week, you shouldn't try and do the maths live.
But I had the maths all worked out before, and then I said it wrong. It's not that I did the maths wrong, it's that I said it wrong. There is a subtle difference.
Mm-hmm.
It is very subtle, I'll give you that.
Okay.
So, those are the headlines. Spreadsheets of doom.
Pretty doomy.
Well, it's split, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think if you look here, because there's quite a lot that I haven't included because they don't fall within the either double-figure percentage or silly numbers.
But there's other... No, there is one you included. Chevrolet went from 7 cars registered...
Ah, but it does win on the percentage.
2 cars registered.
I'm surprised it does not win the stupidest percentage of the month, though.
It doesn't.
No. But right, okay, let's go through the smaller list, which is the have-done-betters for a change. Okay, so that's going to be Abarth is up nearly 24%, so that's 542 vehicles. Bentley are up 36%, so that's 229. BMW, though, had a cracking month, 20%. So, that, as Alan said
look at
before...
look at the 1 Series up there and the 3 Series in the top 10.
Yep.
Must have been some cracking fleet deals.
Up to 22,985, up from 19,149. So there's the difference there. Then we go to Jeep, and that's 77.41%, which means they've had a leap of from 363
rental fleets, everyone,
to 644. Kia, though, that's a good month for Kia, just a smidgen under 15%, and that's 9,162. Lexus had a good year.
Month.
They are up to 1,306 new car registered, so that's 12.5%. So they've just had have they had a couple of refreshes? Have they come on board those refreshes that you went abroad to try out?
Oh, ages ago.
Right, okay.
Ages ago.
So
they were already on board before I went abroad to try them out.
Okay. All right then.
Ridiculous.
Good.
Yes, that was quite some time ago.
Good month for Mazda, 11.46% jump, up to 3,628, and they've a new 6 to come out soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the current one's hardly awful.
Surprise.
Right, and winner of the most ridiculous percentage increase, and I'm surprised that I didn't spot this early because I haven't seen a stupid press release associated, but MG with 177.39% increase.
It's such a... I think they got so much stick the last time. They, by the way, are up 115.05% year on year.
Mm.
That gives you an idea of how few people registered them.
So that 177.39% equates to 871 over 314.
Can we move on and not give them any more airtime for that silliness?
Good, please? Good month for Mitsubishi. 13.52% jump. So that's 1,500 new cars.
C-Crosser.
Yes.
Not C-Crosser.
I know the one you mean.
Eclipse.
Yes, C-Crosser. Eclipse, yes. Yes. That was the concept, wasn't it, the C-Crosser?
Yeah.
Seat, another good month for Seat. They are having a great year, actually, which they needed. But that's up to a smidgen under 33% increase, so that's 6,517. Subaru have had a jump of 31%. Which sounds great, but that's in 2017 it was 202, in 2018 265. I would have expected a bit more with the XV, to be honest. But maybe their advertising campaign is beginning to pay off a bit for them because they are all over, is it National Geographic or Discovery? One of those channels anyway. They are advertising, you know, they are the sponsors of almost every show. And the last good one, Suzuki, 11.96%. It's up to 3,903.
Yeah, well, they've got loads of Swifts hitting the roads and sports and stuff. So the doom and gloom list. Chevrolet down 71%.
Oh, no.
Who cares?
Oh, no.
What the... Yeah, quite. Dacia down 29.7%, but they've been waiting for the new...
new Duster that everybody's been driving, haven't they?
Duster. And been saying lots of nice things about it as well.
I saw an ad for it the other day, and they've actually thrown quite a bit of tech at that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still at a bargain price.
Yeah.
DS, well, they just need some cars, really.
Yes.
Fiat down 29%. Ford down 17%.
That's a big drop for Ford.
17.5%, yeah.
So what's the figures, though?
Think how important the focus is.
Yeah, 27,095 in 2017, and it's 22,334 this year.
So it's down about 4,000 and some.
Which would... well, no, if that was on there, then that would have eclipsed the Fiesta this month.
Yeah, but it could be spread across lots.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
anyway.
Also people, yeah. Yep. Anyway, Infiniti down 74%. Again, there's another brand that needs new stuff. And
did you see this week on Twitter, talking of Infiniti, they have paused their joint development of the new QX.
I did, with Mitsubishi and the Mitsubishi and Mercedes.
Mercedes,
the
A-class. Yeah.
Yes.
Which, well, I can see why. Because it's not just in this country they are struggling for sales and new car regs, but Do you think the recent announcement that they're going to go all electric may be part of this as well? Because if ever a, you know, we say if ever, but Lexus had many, many years before they took off in this country. Because we are so conservative, aren't we, with our brands? Unless you are offering something at bargain basement like Dacia did, we are very conservative with testing something out.
And if you're in the middle in the UK, you get completely thrashed.
Mm.
That's the problem that Peugeot, Renault, Citroën, DS, there you go, has is that it's in a terrible time of it.
But it does force them to...
premium nor budget, and that's the challenge. You can't. The UK is a horrible, horrible market. I see way more Infiniti in France than I see here.
It does force. Talking of that middle sector, though, it does force them to up their game dramatically. I mean, you just look at the 5008 I had recently.
Well, exactly.
I was absolutely gobsmacked by the interior finish to that. I really was. That was not what I was expecting at all. And you can go back and listen to that special edition if you haven't heard it already. To hear my amazement.
191 episodes, he's now as bad as me. Genius.
To hear my amazement for... Yes. 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But as a buyer, that's brilliant for us.
Mm-hmm. It is brilliant. And there's,
Sorry, so, we're going through the
we're at I've Lotus lost where we are. We're only, Lotus. Are we only at Infinity? Oh, right. Okay. So Lotus down 56, but that doesn't really matter. McLaren down 33, but almost 34%. But again, that doesn't really matter because these guys batch build cars. They don't really care about the monthly figures. So Nissan down 33.88% from 13,067 to 8,640. The cash guys in the top 10, is the new Leaf not taking off the way they expected?
Are people buying anything? They're not buying the Dukes.
The Duke, I was thinking about this when I was going through the figures earlier. The Duke's been around a long time. Yeah, yeah. Are they intentionally slowing the production of that? So that they can then introduce a new one. I haven't seen any spy shots of a new Duke, but it has to be on its way.
It's got to be soon, hasn't it? It really has, because that's... I mean, they've done more refreshes on the Qashqai than they have on the...
The Qashqai has been refreshed more recently. The Duke, I think, has had two very minor facelifts.
Yeah.
It must be about Duke, because, I mean, I was... What was I at Nissan? Duke's been around since I moved down here about 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm.
It's getting on. As far as car models go, it's long in the tooth. And there must be due a new Renault Clio with which it can share its underpinnings.
That's not as old.
Not... The new Clio... No, it is... Well, I don't think it is, no.
No, it's not.
It's the Duke and the Capture, and the Clio is very closely...
Mm.
Is very close family... shared engines and components and everything's air filters, all that kind of fun stuff is all shared.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Anyway, Porsche down 11%, which isn't bad considering they've not been allowed to actually sell any cars. Renault down. Well, there's one of the reasons. There we go. That explains some of the drops.
Yeah.
Renault down 23.37. Smart down 28%. And Vauxhall down 13% once again. Although, you know, nice to see the quarter up there at number 3. It's actually been sort of missing from the charts and stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, that's all we're going to do on those. So, yeah.
Still not great.
Mixed bag this month.
Still not great.
Mixed bag, not great. Overall a drop, but a smallish drop.
Mm. But there was a lot of beating of the drum of, can the government please talk sensibly about diesels, please?
Diesels and other things that will help alleviate uncertainty.
Yeah. Right, moving on.
Yes.
The M6 toll is going to get a price increase.
Hooray!
From Monday, July the 30th, so just in time for the summer holidays, everybody. Mm-hmm. Aren't we all lucky? For cars, it is going to rise between 30 and 50p per journey. Light good vehicles will have to pay between 10 and 30p more. And HGVs will get a price rise of between 20 and 50, 50p depending on the journey. And it also, with the lights goods vehicles and HGVs, that is only going to be between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. Because the road operators, that they want to claiming they want to support the haulage operators during the M6 roadworks.
Can you just write? So what they've done is there are roadworks on the M6 that goes through Birmingham. So the M6 toll going around it has, at the start of, during that period, put up their prices.
Yes.
Does that not sound a bit, you know,
opportunist?
Yes, I think that's the word I'm looking
for. That's the polite word.
Polite word that I'm looking for.
Yeah, well, apparently what's going to happen, though, is that the tellers that are in the booths, just in case there's any problems, they'll be wearing stripy jumpers and masks and a bag with swag on the back of it as
they
well.
They do that already, to be perfectly honest.
It's,
I wouldn't
it's,
mind so much if the toll machines were actually vaguely rapid. And
We use the toll machine because... Mrs. Crack Windscreen says we will use the toll machine and doesn't want to sit through potentially any traffic going through Birmingham, which I can understand because a lot of the time that we're all together as a family is during the day.
To be perfectly honest, if I'm going that way, I tend to use it.
And the price it is, I sit there and go, that's a bit steep for 20 minutes of me moving a relatively decently, but I suck it up. But it will get to a point where people just go, you know, forget it, let's just go and block the M6.
People already do that, and we'll end up back where we were before.
Yeah.
And then there won't be any reason to do it. Personally I use the A1 and I get around the problem. But yeah. That's not just because of the M6 toll, that's because then I can avoid Manchester.
Oh yeah. Oh they're about to go to Smart Motorway roadworks on the M62 and the M6 up there. They're already working up their way up there, but it's going to be all round through over the Thelwall Viaduct into the M62.
So not even going M1 A50.
No, you're going to just smack straight into it.
Woohoo, A1 it is then.
Yep,
A1 and A66 M6.
Yes, that is the way to
go. That's what I do anyway. Yeah, because you don't go near civilization.
Yes, there's a lot to be said for that.
Or Manchester.
I do not endorse all the views of my colleague on this podcast. Retweets are not endorsements. Sitting on the same podcast is not an endorsement.
Not quite.
He'd say the same about me.
Oh, regularly.
Right, last bit of new news before I think we need to take a bit of a breather.
We do, because there's a lot of news this week. Volkswagen Golf R power, well, the reported power for the Volkswagen Golf R has dropped from 306 brake horsepower pre-WLTP testing to 296 brake horsepower post-WLTP testing. That means it goes from being a 310 PS engine, so that's a metric horse, down to a 300 metric horse engine. I'm sure everyone's really, really going to notice as they skip the queues and do all the other things that Golf R drivers do.
It'll still be able to pull the photocopier supplies in the boot. It'll be fine.
Quite. However, you won't be able to hold as many because the wagon version isn't going to be offered, the three-door isn't going to be offered, and the manual isn't going to be offered. It's only going to be five-door.
Why have they not done the estate's the one I see?
It is, but overall, in terms of sales... Just they can't. There aren't enough test rigs for WLTP because it's been rushed through for them to measure all the different types, all the different engine combos, and just pay the money for doing that.
Plus Volkswagen.
So whilst things are getting towards the end of their thing, their cycles, then they're being dropped.
Plus Volkswagen do need to save the money with the billions. Not only that they're having to pay in fines,
literally billions.
Did you see that today? It was confirmed in an appeal court that they do have to pay the $10 billion in America. I didn't realize they were appealing that. I thought that that was one of those, oh my god, quick, just say yes and we'll move on.
No, you'd appeal that to the very
because
very
oh no that was the class action one, wasn't it?
Yeah
that wasn't the one to the states or the government.
No.
But they do need to save the money because they've announced billions are invested in EVs.
Mm-hmm.
billions that they've still got. They've still got to pay on fines. This is less than
pocket change. This is less than pocket.
But it's the. I think it's more of a cultural shift for the group. Is that we are not going to do as many offerings as we have. I mean, because I think it would tie.
Not the case.
Okay, I was hoping
this is purely that they did so many permutations were available. So many combos of body shot there. And then all of a sudden with WLTP, they have to test every single darn one of them. They just can't. They just can't support that's, the number of variants. It's forced them
to be efficient, as in the PSA plan with Vauxhall and Opel is, well, we cut down the offerings. You've got all these offerings and people are buying three. And you've got 25 options.
That's it. Well, the trouble is they can't test all the offerings.
No, okay. Because that's the Porsche problem, isn't it? Porsche problem is you can only get these selected ones at the minute because that's all they can test. So if you want a specialist one, you're going to wait.
But new ones coming through the stream will have been tested. Yeah. And I bet we see the number of offerings increase again. They just can't get them done in time.
Mm. Hence, so they're BMW closing down production lines and everything like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. I understand that. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, right. Good. Whew. Okay. Time for a quick guilt minute. I will actually make it very quick because we're running very long tonight. So this is a point where we remind you to think and consider what the motoring podcast is worth to you. If you do feel it's worth a small amount of your hard-earned cash, then please head to motoringpodcast.com and click on the orange Become a Patron button on the front page. If you're already a patron, then we love you lots and thank you very, very much. We understand that not everyone has the ability to do this, so please don't forget to like, rate, and leave feedback via the podcast player of your choice. If you've done that, you're absolutely wonderful. Why not tell a friend, grab them, hold their arm up their back, and force them to sign up for the patron as well? That would be just brilliant.
Other ways of doing it are available.
Yeah, but they're not quite as persuasive. You know, waterboarding, that kind of thing. We say no to waterboarding. Anything north of waterboarding, allowed by the Geneva Convention, you're all right, folks. But if for some reason as well you don't actually subscribe to the show, how about doing so via your podcasting platform to make sure that we come through to you without the anxiety and worry that you may miss out on the next new show. And don't forget, the podcasts are now available via Google Podcast. If you are an Android user, you can download that from the Google Play Store, or you can use any form of Google Assistant by saying, play the Motoring Podcast podcast. There we go. That's me just triggering them all. Hopefully I said it quickly enough that it didn't pick it up. But that'll do for Guilt Minute this week.
Motorsport.
Yes, Formula E. Believe it or not, we're already at the end of the Formula E season. We weren't originally at the end of the Formula E season, but given the Canadian one got cancelled, then we now are.
What, through serious lack of cash?
Well, yeah, that and local politics.
Well, new mayor came in and fulfilled a promise. Shock, horror, politician.
Yeah, move on from politics. So this weekend there are two races in New York. Although someone will probably point out it's Brooklyn, New York, on Saturday and on Sunday. Naturally, it's all televised in the usual televised places.
It's definitely on Five Spike. I can't remember what channel number that is, but I will tweet it out when I find
please.
It. But that. If I remember correctly, it's gone for the qualifying live, and then it's 8 o'clock, I think, for the race live. So if you don't like football, you have an option. But it's also going to be on Eurosport, again, similar times. I would imagine that the qualifying will be available online somewhere, but not the race.
It's 13:40 New York time is when the actual final is. Qualifying is at 7:30 a.m. New York time. Oh, no, practice is at 7:30 a.m. Practice is at 10 a.m. Qualifying is at 11:30 a.m. New York time. Super Bowl at 12:15 and then 13:40 for the race, which will be followed by an autograph session and a BMX stunt show.
Mm.
There you go.
Yes.
It's just what you wanted on both days. So that will be fantastic. This time, Audi have the McLaren Junior, Formula One Junior, and Prema Formula Two racer Nick De Vries will be their reserve driver. He's been their reserve driver already this year, so he may well be out in practice just to give an idea of what some of the Formula One drivers coming up through the ranks are going to be a bit like.
He must be made up that he's going to be near McNeish.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that man has, I know we've said it before, but that man has knowledge.
Yes, he's rather handy. There's some other stuff coming through about next season. So next season starts in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia on the 15th of December. Which is seasonal.
Merry Christmas.
Not much chance of, there's not much. Yeah, don't say that in Riyadh.
Well, no,
there's not much chance of. There's not that much chance of snow or rain being an issue on that particular race. I would imagine dusty tracks are going to be the big challenge. But there's a whole load of stuff going on about revising the qualifying system and heavier grid penalties. And we've got a link to an article in Autosport because, to be honest, I read through it and got to the end and I was like, what?
Well, they're going to have to take into account that they aren't jumping out of vehicles and things now, aren't they?
Yes. So remember, of course, next season it starts with everyone having their own, having a car.
Which brings in a whole new dynamic to it all. Because, you know, as we've seen typically here, you can see in the races this season, last season, previously,
you've got faster.
Some people have managed their reserves better, and they're able to push on towards the end. And you've got others who've gone hell for leather and are going, I hope I'm far enough ahead to be able to make it without someone going past me because I've got nothing left now. And this is going to be different now. This is going to be a lot more driver-centric, I would suggest.
I think it's going to start getting that way. So you don't have quite the same swap thing. But then everyone was using the same tactics anyway. So that was always a bit of a... I think a lot of racing was lost because of the mire that happened in the middle as people couldn't get out of garages and stuff like that. Mm. When races are being won and lost by the position of the garage and the pits, it's a bit... Yeah.
Well, it may also mean that they're in a position to move to proper tracks.
But they don't want to move to proper tracks. Well, that's never been the plan, to move to proper tracks.
They could do with being a bit wider. Certainly there's a few races that need to be
wider. No, but that's half the thing, is it... There are a few races that do need to be wider, but part of the thing is that the speeds are such that it works in a built environment. Mm-hmm. The cars could go faster, but it is not chosen that they will go faster. The very first Formula E race, Andrew, in Beijing, was on a very, very wide track, and the trouble was everything looked so slow.
Oh, okay.
In Beijing, it was just...
All right, so this
so
helps the
so
the impression of speed as well as... Okay.
So as well as that, impression of speed and all that kind of thing.
As long as they've got areas then that people can properly overtake rather than do a stunt up the
Some
inside.
Some work better than others.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes. Anyway, loads of changes to the regulations. Basically, my reading from this is if you do need to use more than the allowed two electric motors, two gearboxes and two inverters... and the one battery pack per vehicle for the duration of the championship next year, you get crushed. There you go.
No pressure, everyone. Effectively untested stuff. I know they've done testing, but it's not been tested in the race environment over many, 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 many races, is what I mean.
No, that's true. I will give you that. So let's see how that goes.
I hope no one loses a championship on the back of something like that.
It's no different to Formula One.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I'm not saying that's a good thing, necessarily, or a bad thing.
No, let's not go there. Lunchtime Read. Mm. Once again, another thoroughly recommended one. This one pulls new punches.
I think it pushes quite a few, actually. It's that far the other direction.
This is on the website, and I do apologise now for absolutely murdering the pronunciation, but autodidact or didact, I can't...
Neither of us know.
If Christopher Butt could confirm what is the correct way in which to pronounce the website that he has written an article called The Fat of the Land... where he is talking about the era of German car design superiority has ended. That's just a flavour of where he goes with this. But he makes a compelling argument, to be fair. I'm not saying I completely agree, but he makes a very compelling argument with, particularly when he shows pictures of, you know, 1980s, 190s, 300s and 500s all side by side, and you go, they're nice, aren't they?
Remember, what he's doing is he is comparing and contrasting Mercedes' current sensual purity, which is a trademark, form language with the vertical homogeneity, horizontal affinity of the Bruno Sacca era.
Yeah, because he's saying that...
That's kind of the level that this article goes at, but it's good.
He's saying that back in those days, cars were designed and now they're styled. And that's the sort of... That's the nub of his point. So go through and read it. It's not going to take you ages, and it is really interesting. We don't put up any old pieces. We'll leave them fit. We'll leave them clear rather than the than that. And we think this is worthy of your time to go and read it.
Yeah.
So list Definitely. Of the week.
Oh, you've got a cracker this week, and it was you that found it, and it's a major Gav one. From Motoring Research, which is 10 brilliant Pininfarina designs and 10 you can afford. And I was sitting here scrolling through a whole load of these and thought, oh, I saw a really good one the other day and it's not listed. In fact, it was. But I love it because in typical Gav fashion, he hasn't just gone off and chosen a whole bunch of Ferraris. He's included stuff like the Berlino Aerodinamica.
Yeah, but to be fair, though, I'm struggling to scroll past the, and I know this is so cliched, but the 250 GT Berlinetta Lusso is...
Sorry. Do you know what? I am such a total pleb. I look at it and go, it's an old car. It's quite attractive, I suppose.
I just love the curves.
They don't do anything for me.
If you can... I've seen them in blue. Not red, but in a metallic blue. And I don't know whether that was photoshopped or not, but I think it looks absolutely gorgeous in the blue.
Wasn't original.
No, please don't shout at us, Mr. Callow. Please don't.
But the trouble is, I know what you're saying, but I look and go, ooh, attractive car. Nope, move on.
No.
And then I look at something. Actually, you see, there's an era for me with Ferrari. So some of the older ones, like the 250s and stuff, I like, all right. And then we get to stuff like the Daytona. The 365 GTB /4, and that's where I'm like, whoa, okay, this is me. I like this. Okay. This is it. But there's some cracking stuff in here. GTO's good to test Ross. Yeah, okay, but you know, including the 406 Coupe.
Yep.
See, these are the ones that interest me more. 406 Coupe, the 164. I saw 164 at the weekend, and it was a pre facelift, not post facelift, like the illustrative one. And it was white, five spokes, and it looked so 80s, late 80s. It was wonderful. And it had the dashboard with all the rows of buttons that all look identical, and you could never tell what the difference was going to be. And I so want one. I so want to drive one. And that did it for me. And again, it's one of those, you know, following on from the read of the week, you can almost describe it in four or five lines.
Because we were having a chat beforehand, weren't we? About lines and lack of them and purity and simplicity and something that's really been gnawing away at me recently. I don't know if my tweets have really made that clear. Sorry, everyone. But
it's just been something gnawing away at you. It's your usual Twitter, to be perfectly frank.
But I think it's very stark, the contrast at the minute between a lot of cars that are on the market compared to ones that are 15, 20 plus years old.
More.
Yeah, plus.
40.
That are, you know, you can see just the one crease down the side because that's all they could do at the time. They only had that technology. But it just looks so pure and clean and
Shall we tell people what it was that started this little bit of thinking? And that was the... So I was at a car show in Market Harborough Thanks to AdamStan91 for telling me it was on, because I didn't know until he mentioned it on Twitter. And so I wandered along there because it was either that or do some useful stuff like weeding on Sunday morning. And there were loads of cool cars. One of them was a XJS convertible, which was on Aston Martin DB7 wheels, which I like the DB7 wheels. They look good in the DB7. I like the Jaguar XJS convertible, but putting the two together is like, I don't know, it's like making olive cheesecake or something. I like the two individually, yes, but together, and it's just great.
Which was not greater than the sum of its parts.
No, it was not. But the XJS was a lovely colour, and the way that the sun caught it, it just showed off that single crease down its side that takes your eye the length of it, and that's what we were discussing that made us start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is why we're late starting recording.
But there are some crackers on this list. As ever, I don't agree with everything.
No.
But that's why it's in there, is to cause the discussion.
I think I would want to, especially the affordable ones. I think there's everything but one of them.
There's definitely one I wouldn't want.
Just one I wouldn't want. Possibly because I end up with puddles of water at my feet and stuff. I imagine it's the same one.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. So anyway, list of the week this week. Lots of fun stuff. Everything from Honda to stuff based on the BMC Land Crab. Go for it. It's nice and varied, just the way we love them.
Yep. Well done, Gav. Thank you once again. Right. And yes, finally, and as it's Goodwood Festival of Speed this week.
Have you missed that? Nobody's told me it's Goodwood.
No.
Great weekend. Can I quickly chip in then before we start this? Great weekend for stuff this weekend. There is Goodwood Festival of Speed, which neither of us will be at this year. Next year, Gadget, next year. There is a Festival of the Unexceptional at Stowe, is on Saturday. I will be there. There was something else as well that was big. Oh, there's Formula E.
Is it not? When's the Silverstone Classic thing? Is that the weekend after?
Oh, that's not this weekend.
It's the weekend after, isn't it? Yeah, because I pointed it out to someone and said, there's this on, and they went, no, that's a different weekend. I was like, yes, it is, isn't it?
No, it's a couple of weeks, because you're not going to have Silverstone Classic and Goodwood, because they'll be relatively close, so that people don't have to take their cars away again and then bring them back.
Yep.
Sorry, anyway, I'll stop.
Because it is a Festival of Speed, which I will then have on the live stream, and when I see details of that, I will tweet them out, everybody, don't worry. If you are struggling to find them, but everybody will be tweeting them out. So it starts Thursday with the Moving Motor Show, which will be interesting, because is that not the first time people can get hold of the iPace?
Sorry, are you sure Thursday isn't press day and then Friday is the Moving Motor Show?
I thought Thursday was Moving Motor Show and Friday was the start of...
No.
Okay, well...
Because I think I know where I was on the Thursday last year, and then I was at the Moving Motor Show on the Friday.
Oh, okay, all right. Anyway, it starts Thursday, as far as looking out for it, and it finishes Sunday with hopefully somebody going really very rapid past a wall.
Preferably past the wall,
yes,
as well.
Past it, yeah. But Red Bull have released a video showing how Elvin Evans has... tried to make his way to the start of the rally section, which, considering the way the weather's been, I would imagine everybody needs to wear dust masks and eye guards, because it's going to be awfully dusty around there.
Yeah. I saw a picture from that Haggerty Insurance, who organise and run the Festival of the Unexceptional, tweeted out earlier on from the view from the front of Stowe House, and said, well, there is still some green grass.
But this is a cracking video. It's not very long, but it's a good bit of fun. I think it's about 3 minutes. Nice bit of fun, nice bit of comedy, and nice showing off of driving rapidly in the Fiesta WRC.
And by the way, it is worth the trek up to see the rally stage, because I've seen I'm lucky enough in January to see them. All these WRC cars and drivers running. on a stage, and just the noise they make is fantastic, and the whole spectacle is just wonderful. So
the whole event sounds
do it.
Absolutely fab, to be fair. Yeah. And it's the problem is that you need to be there multiple days to absorb it.
You do. I will be. I'm making plans for next year. This year, something else came up, and I had to make a whole load of decisions about what I was going to a long time ago.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to have to stop Mrs. Crack Windscreen from, I don't know, working.
Working.
Meaning that I can eat.
Yes.
Have electricity and things like that.
Yeah. She's horrible.
Right, that's it. I think a couple of parish
notes.
That's it.
Quick parish notes. No review again this week. Really, so everyone is just so busy.
Yeah, I've got plenty of people lined up, but they just can't. We cannot get calendars to align.
Yes, they're either on holiday or they're prepping for Goodwood or they're just doing stuff. Mm. So it's not impossible. So what we'll do is we'll give you another special edition instead because we are so lovely.
Yes.
We put out the WRX STI final edition last week.
Yes.
A number of people have commented on that to me. This week, there will be another one out. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we ended up with this glut of press cars right about now, aren't you?
Yes, it has been helpful.
Yes,
but we are very close to potentially recording a special edition next week.
Are we?
And okay. I'm recording. Lined up at least one next week. So
good. So rear view, we'll get back on track as soon as we can with rear view. I think maybe if we do a round table, maybe we'll put it out on the rear view channel for a change. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. Let's think about it. Andrew will discuss that with himself and make the decision himself because really I shouldn't have said that.
No, we'll keep the rear view as interviews.
Okay. There you go. Problem solved. I just thought it might have been a crossover interview and was trying to solve an issue, but never mind. You see? So it's all about solutions.
No, but it may be the first of a semi-regular series on a topic. Which is something we've been investigating and discussing with people because we think you guys would love to hear it.
Yeah, I think we need to try it and then...
Gauge reaction. Everybody involved. There is the listeners and the people taking part.
Yeah, and then see if it becomes its own thing or not. We'll see. Yep, well, that's about it, I think. Usual round off then. Don't forget, once again, folks, that between now and next week, you can give us any feedback. Share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Loads of Instagram at the minute, by the way, so do please subscribe to our Instagram. On Facebook and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Don't forget our Patreon, available at motoringpodcast.com/support. And please, please leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really, really does matter. Andrew, best way to get in touch with you and see rubbish pictures of tiny bits of the press car you have this week?
To be teased repeatedly about and help you try and work out what car
it is. Not teasing.
Go to Crack Windscreen on Twitter, where you will find me and these pictures that will slowly reveal.
Of course, you could just DM me and ask me what it is that he's got, because I know the answer.
No, don't do that.
Can DM me on Twitter at AJP Bradley, BRADLEY. See, I've even saved you some words. Aren't I lovely? We'll be back next week, unless we've completely fallen out. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.